I'll begin with a reflection by the Reverend Kathleen McTeague. It was the end of a hectic day and the start of the kind of evening familiar to anyone who's juggling work and young children. Time is the enemy, relentlessly streaming past, leaving in its wake an endless clutter of unfinished tasks. Like a flustered hen in a barnyard, I clucked and fretted as I hustled my children along through homework, dinner, bath time, and bedtime stories, always trying to get things to move just a little faster against the ticking clock. With the kids finally in bed, a half hour later than I'd aimed for, I fussed my way out the door to give the dog her walk, bustling along as my fretful mind danced through a dozen other still unfinished chores. I was halfway down the driveway when I glanced up. My jaw dropped. There before me, the whole spread of the Milky Way, splintered out across the clear black sky. Stars behind stars in that deep pool of space. And then I finally stood still. Washed in starlight that had been traveling toward me for millions of years, I was brought to my senses and very nearly brought to my knees. Because bedtime had been late, my children were still awake. To their delighted surprise, the mother hen reappeared in their bedroom doorways, no longer clucking, and carried them, one at a time, pajamas and all, out into the crisp winter air to bathe in that ancient light. Maybe this is all we can bear of the cosmic perspective on time. This little glimpse of eternity that lets us see our small lives connected to everything else on so massive a scale. My awe at that immensity doesn't leave me feeling diminished or irrelevant. Instead, it reminds me that if we can be present exactly in the moment we are living, we can step outside of time altogether. We live immersed in that eternity, after all. We just forget until something like starlight wakes us up to it again. So the busyness at the beginning of her story is all too familiar to me. How many times do people ask me how I am, and I respond quickly, "Oh, busy." Sometimes I start to feel like a broken record. I know that life needs to be more than just busy, yet it consumes me. My mind often feels like the desktop of my computer. So many windows and tabs open, this unfinished task creeping out behind the corner of the other. My attention always vigilant to that thing I may have and inevitably did forget or neglect. And the busyness is all around me, the rushed traffic, the long checkout lines full of weary, impatient people, email inboxes overflowing, birthday cards unwritten, bills that need to be paid, tasks piling up. Is this familiar to any of you? But before I press on you some naive message, just to let it all go, just to relax, I want to acknowledge that sometimes the busyness is real because our culture creates it. As I wrote this sermon, I imagined myself preaching about busyness to that single mom, three kids, working two jobs, taking night classes to get her degree, and supporting her ailing parents. Imagine me telling her, just rest, just take a break. I can't preach that message in good conscience unless I also acknowledge the societal forces that create cultures in which so many people go it alone with too many burdens. Parents, for example, are often too stressed because we have forgotten it takes a village to raise a child. We're one of the only countries without paid parental leave. Mothers often have to go to work before their bodies have even healed from childbirth. Fathers rarely get any time off. Then there's minimum wage. How can you make ends meet on minimum wage without any benefits? And we're a culture that has often forgotten that many hands make light work. Many hands make light work. The structure of our culture has changed in a way that getting those many hands together takes so much coordination. And so our burdens are heavy. And the problem is we end up thinking we must be doing it wrong. We must not be enough. It's that not enough voice. Perhaps you have it too. The not enough voice pesters us if we can't rise to meet all these demands, if we can't secure that American dream, if we can't work hard and play hard and be perfect parents and children or partners. And that not enough voice is tricky. It comes in even when we're not busy. It tells us, if you're not busy, what's wrong with you? What are you doing with your life? And so busy often becomes like a reluctant badge of honor. That may be another reason why these days the usual response to how are you is either fine or busy. So we are busy, despite the fact that scientists have found that if you don't have downtime, your brain, your productivity suffers. The benefits of napping, meditation, daydreaming have all been studied and found to be beneficial, yet we are still busy. So what do we do? Two things, I'll say. First, we work to acknowledge those social forces that create this myth that we must each pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and carry heavy weights alone. We must figure out how to shift more toward community, where a few aren't burdened with more than their share, and where many hands make light work. That's a topic for a sermon in itself. But in the meantime, as we transform our culture, and even after we do, we will always need to remind ourselves to break from the busyness, even for a moment, even for just that glimpse of the Milky Way or a blade of grass. Because when we can break from the focus on what's right here in front of us, the task, the need, the list, when we can break from that, we can drop into mystery, wonder, and connection. But why? What's the point? What's in it for you? So Albert Einstein said, "The fairest thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the fundamental emotion which stands at the cradle of true art and true science. He who knows it not and can no longer wonder, no longer feel amazement, is as good as dead," Einstein said. "A snuffed out candle." So all our striving will be in vain. Our work will just burn us up unless we can stay connected to something larger than ourselves. Transcendence. For some, it is God, the sacred. Others, it is the mystery of nature, the workings of humanity at its best. Reason. For some, it is all of these together. But it's about finding our place in the whole. It's about this Mary Oliver poem. Maybe you've heard it. Mary Oliver says, "You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 1,000 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours. I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things." So this is our first source of Unitarian Universalism. You can find it in the front of the hymnal in our 6 sources. The first source, direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. If in the midst of all of the busyness of our lives, all of the stuff of our lives, we lose touch with that transcendence, we lose touch with the forces which create and uphold life. We don't want to be busy, dead people. We want to be connected to all of life. So this week, in the midst of our busy days, let's do 2 things. First, let's take a moment, even just a moment, to drop into wonder and joy. And second, to fully inhabit that moment enough that it tells you what you need to know. You are enough. Blessed be.